Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we commune with you every day, but weekdays can be worldly days of such. Secular concerns reduce our thoughts being on heavenly things. We bless you, therefore, that today is sacred to our souls when we can wait upon you and be refreshed. We thank you for the institutions of religion by use of which we draw near to you and you to us. We rejoice in another Lord's Day when we call off our minds from the cares of this world and attend to you without distraction. Let our retirement be devout. Let our conversation be edifying. Let our hearing be profitable. We've come to the house of prayer. Pour upon us the spirit of grace and supplication. We've come to the house of praise. Awaken in us every grateful and cheerful emotion. We've come to the house of instruction this morning. Give testimony to your word as it's preached and glorify it in the hearts of all who hear. May it enlighten the ignorant and awaken the careless. Reclaim the wandering, establish the weak, comfort the feeble-minded, and make ready this people for their Lord and Savior. Attend to us now, and attend to other gospel-revealing, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches in the greater Charlotte area this morning, God. Fill those pastors with your spirit. Fill the congregation with your spirit. Give them ears to hear what you will say to the church through your word proclaimed this morning. We bless you in Christ's name. And the church said, amen. Well, last week we finished up the Lord's Prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. And my heart was encouraged through the study and preparation of that, and my prayer life has been affected on that. And if you missed any of those, they're available online. I encourage you to go back, not because the preaching's that great, but there's some good notes there that I think will encourage you and help you in your prayer life. We joke as a prayer team when we meet every week here at Grace Covenant on Wednesdays at 11. We joke that, man, nothing will mess up a good prayer like the Bible. Meaning you'll ask for things that sound good, and then you open up God's Word and you're like, wait, do I need to say that? Because he's all, anyway. So use God's Word. Tether your prayer life to the Word of God, and it's a big blessing for you. Today, a Thanksgiving psalm. It was read during the scripture reading, and I'm looking forward to spending time with that this morning. And then next week begins Advent, and I am so excited about Advent at Grace Covenant Church. I hope that you are, and if you have friends that don't regularly come to church, they will come to church in the Christmas season. You say, well, they won't come with me on a Sunday morning at 10. They're not out of bed yet. Well, maybe they'll come Christmas Eve at 6:30 when we have our Christmas Eve service. Do you know that it's the highest percentage of lost and unchurched people will go to church now on Christmas Eve service, more so than on an Easter service or any other time, because they hearken back to a time of tradition for their family? They just come for a traditional experience. When they get here, we're going to give them Jesus. How about that? That is the tradition that's worth celebrating. You know, if somebody were to eavesdrop on you and make a report, I mean, we're living in a day when that can be submitted to Congress. Let the record show. But if somebody were to listen in on your conversations, not when we start and I do the welcome and we get in that mode, right? I don't wear priestly garments, but like once I do the official Bible reading, you see me with a collar on. I know how you are, right? We've got a robe and we're kind of in church mode. And then when we say amen at the final, we kind of leave. So I'm not talking about when the service is going, but if somebody were to listen in on our conversations pre and post churchy stuff, what would they hear? Well, I think the psalm this morning points to an Old Testament here, David writing, points to a people who belong to God, and it's just best defined as a community of praise. Now, they do talk about their day-to-day concerns and cares. We have record of that all throughout Scripture. But the people of God speak of the God to whom they belong and in whom they believe. I hope that you're encouraged this morning, maybe even convicted a little bit this morning as we spend time in God's Word. The psalm was read in its entirety, and I won't do that again for you, but I encourage you today, take this home and read it one more time before you come back tonight at 6:30 for the Vespers service. You were created by God. It is intricately woven into the design of every created human being to praise the Lord. You were made to praise God. Whether you desire to or not is not the issue at stake. Your opinion of God's greatness in no way affects the reality of God's greatness. Whether you believe Him or not, He is God, and He's comfortable existing as God outside of your opinion. The atheist may stack what they believe to be a mountain of what they call evidence against the existence of God, although there is none. And God is not one iota threatened in His security as King and sovereign ruler over all that is. He's God, all by Himself. He's God. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and He has a people set apart for Himself. And you were made to praise the Lord. You were born to love Him. You were born to know Him. You were born to walk in His ways. In fact, you were born to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. The final note of Psalm 150 may ring in your mind right now, as it did mine, just writing these notes down. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. All right, do this for me. Some of us easier than others, I know, but do this for me. Breathe in. Breathe out. All right, we're going to do it one more time. And the second time on the breathe out, you're going to say, praise the Lord. Ready? Breathe in. Breathe out. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Your life may be in shambles. The facts may be stacked up against you right now. But the truth is, God is on the side of those who will praise their God and King. What is the normal behavior for the man and woman or boy or girl who says they love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength? Adrian Rogers is quoted as saying, "What makes the church distinct is that she's different." That's earth-shattering, right? But when people come to hear, it ought to sound different than the Rotary Club. And I'm not talking about during the service. They expect churchy things. I don't think you walk in a building like this and think you're going to get something other than churchy things when we gather. I'm down with that, y'all. Y'all need to know that, right? It's been said of me, and I've repeated it recently. I think I might bleed stained green glass. It's just the way it is. We expect that here. But before and after, it's a normal thing for somebody who loves the Lord and who has set their affection on Him to bless His name, to sing His praises, to meditate on His goodness, and to speak of Him often. Now, I know that Pastor D, through the years, I've listened to some of the messages. Pastor Norman as well, and even guests, have spoken from the Psalms before. Maybe you've even done a series in some of the Psalms before. But just to refresh your memory, the Psalms were written in five books, as it were, five collections of Psalms. Book 1, the Yahwistic Psalms, Psalm 1 through 41. Book 2, the Psalms include the Psalms of sons of Korah, and some of the Elohistic Psalms of David, just normal words you say every day, right? Elohistic, right? That's Psalm 42 through 72. Psalm 73 through 89 is Book 3, the Psalms of Asaph, more of the sons of Korah. I guess it was a band, I don't know. Book 4, Psalm 90 through 106. These are Psalms of God's kingship. And then the final Book 5, Hallelujah, Thanksgiving Psalms, and Songs of Ascent. We find ourselves this morning in one of the Songs of Ascent. A couple of years ago, my wife and I had the privilege, as have some of you, to go to the Holy Land, Israel. And you read in your Bible for years, the Songs of Ascent, the Songs of Ascent. And you're thinking, yeah, you hear them say, "I will look into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord." And you think, oh, yeah, that's very inspirational. And then you go and you're in the Kidron Valley and you recognize that if you were going to the temple, you were going up. You were going up this hill to get to the temple, to the place set apart for worshiping God. And while they were going, they weren't griping about the journey. David knew he was going to write some songs for the people so that they could lift high the Lord as they would ascend the hill of worship. When you're on your way to church, I know. Listen, we got kids too, y'all. But when you're on your way to church and the struggle is real, remind yourself that you are heading to the place that's been set apart for the people of God to come and worship this King who loved you so much. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on a cross to bear your sin and shame, to be buried in a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and raised to life on the third day when God said it was enough, so that you and I might glorify him and enjoy him forever. Don't have Armageddon in the van and then try to have the Shekinah in the house, okay? Work hard, fight for it, fight the drift, fight the temptation to be petty on Sunday mornings. We fight it at our house, y'all. It does not exempt the pastor. In fact, there are some mornings that it seems we get a double anointing, a double portion, and I'm usually the culprit, letting stuff get to me that shouldn't. When we're coming to the house of God, before the service starts, let's get our mind on the things of God. Look here, I will extol you, verses 1-3. Don't worry, we'll make it out on time. I know it's a long psalm. It's okay. Hang with me. Verses 1-3. Look at, it's very personal to David. This psalm, of all the things that we get worried about in church, in church world, we talk about, oh, how are we going to praise? And we give a lot of attention to the one doing the praising, the praise and worship leader, or this church worships like this, or that church worships like that. None of that is the concern in this psalm. This psalm is chiefly concerned with the object of our affection. David immediately makes God the object of this psalm of praise. Look, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I'll bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Not just in the assembly, every day. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. I will extol you. I will enthusiastically praise you. Notice the immediate surrender here of David, the psalmist, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, worshiping God, teaching us to worship. I will enthusiastically praise you. Two words. My God and King. My God and my King. You know, it wasn't too long ago we used to say this little phrase. You remember this, Pastor Day? You probably said it. You can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Well, it was, I don't know how long ago. I'm getting old, so I don't want to say too much about that. But I forget how long ago, in the high school Sunday school class that my wife and I used to lead, we had some guest people come in, and they made the statement, you can talk the talk, you might even walk the walk, but can you, this is real spiritual, y'all, can you live the death? I mean, you go, ooh, wow, and I'm like, that doesn't rhyme. That was my spiritual response. I'll never remember that. That doesn't rhyme, right? You know what? I think we press, I started to say rewind. There's some young people don't even know what that button is. You reverse the track a little bit. You seek backwards and you rewind it. And I'm wondering, though, if we don't need to relearn how to talk the talk. I mean, we used to say, like, what I always took that to mean was, if you say you're a Christian, then you should act like a Christian. And it certainly does mean that. That's what that adage means. But I'm wondering about our conversations. Do we talk the talk? Do your lips proclaim that he is God? That he is your God? My God. Does your life declare that he is your King? My King. One scholar writes, this is tough to hear, it's an act worthy of severe punishment for a man to limit God's love and mercy and wantonly exclude himself from their influence. This guy's saying, how dare you not surrender your life to the Lord? This is the great God and King. Oh, I wish we would talk the talk in a way that drew people to the Lord before the service ever started. Like the psalmist would say, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's not just for arguing. That's for proclaiming the goodness of God. If I were going to make a note out by that passage, I would write down the reality. God's people praise the Lord. I just write that word reality beside verses 1 through 3. The reality is God's people praise the Lord. Because if we don't, who will? Right? If I come to church and don't hear any conversation about God, where exactly am I going to go and hear that? God's people praise the Lord, and not just when the lights are on and the mics are hot. God's people praise the Lord. Second point, there's a responsibility. Verses 4 through 7. There's a responsibility. Here we go with that conversation piece. God's people talk to each other about His greatness. This is a topic of conversation. Verses 4 through 7. Look in your text. Now, this is my little indictment against churches. I'm not throwing stones here, but let me say it in a positive way. I love churches that are multi-generational because I think the body of Christ is multi-generational in the New Testament. I see it all throughout. You see older with younger. I love it. One generation, even in the Old Testament here, shall commend thy works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. We talk about the Lord with each other. We should. What are the Lord's people consumed with in conversation? What dominates our interactions? What or who is the chief topic of conversation? Grace Covenant, can I implore you, please? Is it just guns and politics and booze and shopping and entertainment? These things ought not be. We can do better. If I've been around you, if you've been around me for any length of time, at some point, something about Jesus ought to come up, right? Or if I were you, I would be suspect that I was just a hireling, that this was just a job, that I just made a decision to take a vocation because I have some communication skills. No. I can't do anything but preach. And if the lights go off and the pulpit goes dark and they bulldoze the building, I'm still going to preach. When my family gets tired of it, I'm still going to preach. If I weren't a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ by calling and assignment, I would still proclaim the goodness of our God and King because He is worthy of our praise and adoration. We declare He is a great God. It's the young and old and the in-between crossing generational lines and boundaries and declaring to one another. Just survey the text. Just look at it in your hand. I won't go explicitly verse by verse, but look at some of the things that are there. His works, His mighty acts, His glorious splendor and majesty, His might, His awesome deeds, His greatness, His fame, His abundant goodness, His righteousness. This isn't even an exhaustive list. Look at the normal, not supernatural, not super saint, not elder responsibility, not deacon responsibility. These are normal, everyday people who love God, and these are the methods they use. They commend is a word used there. That means that's in a manner worthy of His name. They don't speak of God with irreverence. They declare, they make visible things that are otherwise not. You may not know this about me, but let me tell you what the Lord did for me this week. Let me tell you where I saw the Lord open a door this week for me to share the gospel with somebody. This week, I shared my faith with ... Is there a rest of that sentence? This month? This year? Since I've been saved? One time, maybe halfway? Anything? They declare, they meditate. That means to roll over and over and over. They speak, they use words. It's a terrible quote wrongly associated with St. Francis of Assisi that says, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. That's garbage. It's necessary to use words. God spoke the world into existence. He proclaimed Himself as the Word of God. In the beginning was the word. Not the essence, not the experience, but the Word. It's always necessary to use words. We are to herald the goodness of God. Pour forth, pour it out, gush it out. When's the last time you lavished and gushed on God? sing aloud, cry out, sing with joy. Oh, there's so much good thing here. Singing faces. A mighty fortress is bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Tweet your face a message. Tell it to get in line. Just imagine the reaction to this type of community, though, the one that's being described here. Imagine somebody walking over from the apartments, which they do Sunday after Sunday, popping in on this little church on the corner of South and East, and seeing a community of people from all different walks of life, all kind of socioeconomic backgrounds, young and old and in between, who were lit up because they believed in this God of the Bible. Not just engaged during the service, but connected to the vine in such a way that we couldn't but speak of the goodness of our God and King. What a God. What a God. What a psalm. I love it. I'm not setting the bar high for super saints here. I'm just showing you this is the joyful responsibility that we have among the body to make sure that the main theme of our discussions on and off campus is the main theme of our lives. Is Jesus the main theme of your life? So we see the reality God's people praise him. We see the responsibility that we have to talk about the Lord with each other. The third, I want you to see the reason why this is easy. This ought to be easy for us because he's God. He's worthy. Now, there's not a lot to exegete in this next thing. I mean, we could pick apart all the attributes of God, the communicable attributes of God. Let me rephrase that. I can't do it in the time left, so I'm not going to try. What I'd like to do, though, is do something that I learned to do years ago with the Psalms in praying the scripture. This morning when I was just going back through my notes, originally I was just going to read through these things and just say, what an incredible list. It's not even exhaustive, but it's enough to demonstrate his worthiness. And as I began reading it, I was just moved. I mean, I was a little overwhelmed, if I'm honest with you, thinking about this God that loves us so much, thinking about this great, high, awesome God who made a way that we didn't have to perish and always be at odds with him. So I wonder, you can stay seated. I wonder if you will just let me kind of pray through this text and see if you can pick up on the reason why it ought to be easy for us to praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? This is not the end of the service. I got one more point after this. Fret not. I can't get out that quick, y'all. Let's pray together, but listen to how I pray the text, and maybe this will encourage you in your prayer life. Lord, we bless your name because you are so, so gracious. You have given us more than we could have ever asked for, certainly more than we deserved. And you are merciful, God. You have held back so much, things we don't even know about. You're slow to anger. You are abounding in steadfast love. Lord, you are love. You are good to all, even when we don't understand it. And we can't make sense of everything, you are still good. Your mercy is over all that you've made. Lord, all of your works, all of creation will give thanks to you, O Lord. And your saints will be at the front of the line. We'll bless you. We'll speak of your glory because your kingdom is glorious. You're powerful. Oh, you're so good. You're faithful in all your works, Lord. You uphold those who are falling. You raise up those who are bowed down. We're looking at you, Lord. We want people, when they look at us, to see you. You give us what we need. You open your hand. You satisfy us, Lord. You're righteous. You're kind. And you're near. Even when I don't feel you. Even when I don't sense you. You are near to those who call on you in truth. Not only do you give me new desires, Lord, you fulfill them if I keep my eyes set on you and fear you. Thank you for saving me when I cried out. Thank you for keeping me. And thank you, Lord, that you are a just God, a righteous God who will not look kindly on sin. Yes, you are forgiving, but for the unrepentant, we know there will be justice. They will not escape justice, even though in this life it seems as though they may get a pass in this system or that system. Lord, the high court of heaven will rule justly. God, for this and so many reasons, Lord, you are worthy. And I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard a songwriter write one time, I want to thank God for all that he's done for me and for the things that he's done that I have no idea about. You don't know how much the Lord has kept from you. Sure, there's some things you prayed for and it seemed like no came and it ticked you off a little bit. But you don't know the stop that came with a flood of evil that might have overwhelmed you. And the Lord put a hedge around you. No is a good answer sometimes. We parents know that. We say it to protect our children oftentimes. But to the kid, it feels personal. It feels out of line. But I want this. But I want this. We spiritualize those requests sometimes. I want to remind you, when you open your Bibles and pray your Bibles, you'll see that the Lord is good and he's right, even when you don't understand. The reality is God's people praise him. The responsibility that we have as the church, as the body of Christ, is to talk with one another about the Lord. In that way, we encourage one another in our most holy faith. We do churchy things when we get together, even at home. It doesn't mean we float around on clouds and sing the Hallelujah chorus all the time. I get it. We can have fun talking about the things of this life, but I don't want us to get out of balance. We have something special here as Grace Covenant, and we have to protect that. And one of the ways that we protect the beauty of the unity of the body of Christ is to speak about the Lord and to keep our affections on him. Finally, last point here, David wraps it up with this return. I wrote down these words. It's not really an eloquent point here, but I want you to see that this praise, at the beginning, he talked about, I'm going to bless you, my God and my King, and bless your name forever. At the end, it becomes so much bigger. He's reflected on the responsibility he has. He's talked about the reality of how God is so easy to praise, or the reason that is. And now I want you to see him throw it back up one more time to close it. Like we close our service in worship, can I just tell you, after you've worshiped with God's people in song, heard the reading of God's word, heard the preaching of God's word, the last song shouldn't just be a footnote to get us out the door. It ought to be different. You ought to have a higher caliber of worship to offer the Lord. After having sat under the teaching of God's word, hear what he does here. Psalm 145, verse 21, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Will, it's an act of the will. And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This psalm is taken up exclusively with God's praise. He starts praising the Lord, but he's going to praise him even into eternity. Do you see it there? It's incredible. It's personal. My mouth, it's precise, will speak the praise of the Lord. It's corporate. Let all flesh bless his holy name, and it's eternal forever and ever and ever. Wow. A few years ago in the social media world, a company in the UK started this first, and then Facebook picked up on it. But a few years ago, before the year in review was a thing, I seem to get a year in review like update all the time now on Facebook. Here's what happened to the last year with you and your father-in-law. Here's what happened to the last year with you and your this. I like it. It's great to look back, but you get a year in review kind of message. There was one app, though, that would give you a word cloud. Anybody remember what word clouds are? So word cloud. It would take all your most used words, and then the words that you use the most were the biggest words in the middle, and then other big words around it. I wish I would have had one up for you to see. But essentially, all these big words. And one of the apps that I use for studying and digging deep into languages and things for sermon prep does that with a psalm. It would take this psalm and show you the big idea, big word, the word used the most in the psalm, and then surround it. It's kind of like the year in review. What are the things that got the most likes and shares and all that? But this was your conversation, your words in review. Both tools are insightful. They highlight the things that matter. They show the abundance of the heart, really, to the user. I wonder what the most used words pre and post at Grace Covenant are. Not when the mic's on and not when we're doing churchy things, when church mode. But what are our most used words? What does the highlight reel look like as young and old and in between interact, not just in Sunday school or Bible study or Sunday morning worship? Here's what the world needs to see. The South End doesn't need a new definition of Christianity. They just need a real demonstration of Christianity. I want them to see God's people praising the Lord. It's a reality. We can't help but speak of His goodness. And I've seen some of that in many of you. I want to see God's people talking to one another about His goodness. He's the main theme. His mighty acts would be among the biggest words in our word cloud. We gush, we sing with joy, we speak with honor about this God, our King. I want them to come to know, even as an outsider, that He is worthy to be praised, not just when the songs are sung, but they're like, man, these people actually believe this stuff. They hear it in the preaching. They see it on our faces. They don't have to feel and grope about like they're in the darkness when they're at Grace Covenant. I want them to see that our praise is infectious. I know it's November. We probably need some hand sanitizer in the narthex, but this is a good kind of infection. I want praise to break out in epidemic proportions because we are preparing for all eternity. My praise, it's an act of will, but I was born to love Him. You were born to love Him. You were born to know Him. You were made to worship Him. You were created to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Grace Covenant Church, a community of praise. As a musician comes, would you stand with me so we can praise the Lord and sing one last time? And let it be our final note, like David's was a higher note than he started. This will be our final note. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our King, this morning, Lord, if somebody feels a disconnect from being able to claim that you are their God and their King, I pray that they wouldn't leave without reaching out to somebody on their row or around them and say, pray for me, help me. I want to know this God. Lord, all of us, any of us, would stay as long as we needed to stay today to make that calling and election sure. Fill us with your Spirit now and animate our hearts and minds as we lavish our love on you and sing your praises. In Jesus' name, amen.